It's Sunday morning, March 20th.
Lord, we ask that your blessings would be on our service. We ask that your blessings would be on our lives, Lord. Lord, if there are things that are idols for us, that we would recognize them as being idols, that we would put them on the altar before you, O Lord, so that you might consume them. Do that work, good work, Lord. Do that good work. That you would be our great love. You would be. It would be you. Not other stuff. You. And that just as the heart pants after the water brook, in that same way that our heart would pant after you. If things are dry, it would not be business as usual for us, that we would be thirsty. It just would not be okay if you are somehow off someplace else. That we would hunt in the night for you, just like the Shulamite did. Cause that work to be done. Cause that work to be done. Cause that. We need more of you. We need more of a hunger for you. So cause that good work to be done. And Lord, that we would not be fooled by the enemy as to what is truth. That we would recognize your truth as illuminated by your Spirit and your Word. That would be it. Cause that good work to be done by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
In the second book of Peter, in chapter 1, verse 4, it says, by these exceedingly great and precious promises, which is referring to the Word of God, we become partakers of God's divine nature. And in John 1, verse 14, it says that the Word was made flesh. In some places it says it became flesh, and you know what? I'm not so sure that either way that is that right. And so if the Word became flesh, and by that Word we become partakers of God's divine nature, then that Word is the divine nature of God. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we have been listening to the Word of God for the better part of 20 years, and I did have trouble listening at night because it would keep me awake, but it doesn't anymore. It doesn't matter. I love it, and that took a while. It's not something that you just automatically do, because the Word of God is so much different than our natural system that we. It's hard to make the I don't even know what the word is, the relationship. But Jesus, it says in the first chapter of Matthew or of Hebrews, it says that he was the express image of the Father. In one place it says that he the expressed, I think, image of the invisible God. It says the same thing. And now express can mean a vital or important issue. It can also mean vocalization. It could mean that he expressed God, and he did. As a matter of fact, he told us that he said, it's the Father in me that's doing the work. It's the Father in me that is, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And so, we have to understand that it was not an accident that God turned us in or tuned us into the Word of God. And not only us, but a lot of other people are listening as well as us. And I came to the realization one day that I didn't really have the understanding of things that are in the Word, and that only God can reveal Himself to us.
Yes.
I can't do it, and there's no pastor around that can reveal God. And I heard a voice that said, if you want to find me. And he said, you got to look for me where I am. Well, I started looking at that. I realized there's only one place I know of where we can find God. And that's in His Bible and in His Word. And that's, so we started listening. And there has been an unbelievable, I can't even say the word, but unbelievable change in my entire system. I'm not the same. I don't think the same. And I'm anxious for the Lord to return.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say that I always was. But I said that just to say that we can be.
Mm-hmm.
We can be anxious. And we can, you know. And of course, when it says that He was expressed, or the Word was made flesh, I thought, at what point? One day a wolf? When was the Word made flesh? And you know, the answer is, it doesn't really matter. If God made it flesh, He made it flesh. And it tells us that, let me read it. It says in Luke 2:40. It says, and this is talking about Jesus, and it says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, this is the story where, it's the only place it's found in the scriptures, I think, where it measures that he was, at 12 years old, he was in the temple. He was in there 3 days. Talking to the doctors of the word and so forth, and he told his parents. They said we were worried about you. Yeah, you didn't show up for 3 days, and he made a strange statement. He said, "How is it that you didn't understand that I have to be about my father's business?" That was a strange thing for a 12-year-old to say. But anyway, as he grew in stature and whatever it is, he became more and more the divine nature of God. So when we take the word in, even though we don't understand it, or we might not even like it, it builds something inside of us that separates us from the world. It separates us. And anyway, and I'm thankful for that. I got more to say, but I won't.
Is that what you were talking about last night? That you wanted to talk about today?
Pardon?
Remember last night before you went to bed, you said, I want to bring this up tomorrow. Don't let me forget.
This is basically it.
That's basically it? Okay.
well known fact that some of Keith's best inspiration happens just before he goes home.
Oh, yeah. sometimes right when you move almost to the door. Come back. Let's talk about this one here.
I'm sure that you guys can add a lot to what I said, but I'm not alone.
The good thing is, none of us are.
Pardon?
None of us are alone.
No. No. It's getting to be a good trip. Strange way to put it, but it's an exciting life.
I have one of the things that it's kind of a recurring thought in my mind is the parable of the prodigal son. And I think about the older brother, you know, what his reaction was. And I've shared before, shared again, that if I were the third brother, you know, in this family, it would be my hope that I would throw in my own fatted calf, you know, have a really good feast, celebrate the return of that prodigal son, you know. And you know, that sounds real holy, you know? And I got cut off short here a little while ago. I realized that I was failing to extend grace in a case where I didn't have nearly as good a reason for not having grace extended as that older brother would have had, you know. I just did not have any heart of grace. I just didn't. I wasn't throwing in no fatty calf, you know. And, you know, shame on me for not having the heart of grace. Shame on me. I hope my heart is altered a little, you know, in relation to that question. But you know, your own personal feelings, your own preferences, your own sense of what's right and wrong and fair and unfair and all that stuff, you know, it has to fall in the face of the grace of the Father.
Yes.
It has to fall. And if we are extending judgment where he is extending grace, that's not where we want to be. That really is not where we want to be. So if I were perfect, that would be one thing, but I'm a ways away from that. So, anyway.
Well, I'm afraid that there's a lot of church people today who are the older brother. And as long as everything kind of goes their way, they're fine. But
our society does not teach that any longer. I mean, as mundane as it sounds in TV commercials, when Charlie was talking, I thought about this, switching over to a phone plan, okay, TV commercial, where they have a mom and dad and two kids, and one of the things, they're trying to sell the plan, and the lady gives the girl a lollipop. And the boy goes, hey, you know, and the whole meant is to be all fair. So she gives the boy a really big lollipop. And then the girl goes, well, what about me? That's what we're seeing out in our lives.
Yes.
It's not, I she should have been like, well, that's nice that my brother got a nice lollipop. It wasn't. It was her greed that as a, I don't know, 7-year-old is going, it's not fair, you know. So that's how we are setting that example in as simple things as TV commercials. So if we don't know and we don't teach how are people and we don't express and live that prodigal son, how are people going to ever know? Because there's nobody out there preaching from the mount.
When my kids are in a situation that's not fair or whatever,
oh yeah.
So I tell them, I'm not going to make it fair. I can. And I'm like, you know what? You live on earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is earth. Nobody promised you nothing different.
Bells and roses.
Yeah. And I get off the hook. It's a heaven. I mean, there's a new earth coming. Yes, perfect, I'm amazing. But this earth is tough. It's not going to be good forever and ever. Yeah. About Charlie over here, where you were saying, I don't think you said it, but I think that if God was, God would say, even though all you said was, you know, what I stuck from Charlie, basically, or Charlie's friend, or whatever, or whatever. But, you know, God's heart is there to you. He said, I love you, Charlie. Because, you know, hey, you have kids, whatever. Doesn't your heart go, God, he's a father, he's the father. Like a father, don't you see your kids failing? And doesn't your heart go to them the most when they fail? Now, you can be proud that they're doing good. You can be proud. But your heart goes to them when they fail. Okay? I'm not encouraging, I'm not saying, trying to keep failing so you can have a glory with God. But you're coming out, I fail. You know what I mean? And like the Jesus speaks about these two brothers, I guess it is, also, it's like, hey, come and work for me. One of them says, okay, I will. He doesn't. The other one says, I will. And the other one will say, I won't, but then he will. So it's kind of like that. You know, it's like, I mean, I'm glad you see on yourself what you see, and you know, God's love is so much perfect than how we love. You know what I mean? It's a different love. It's still love. Okay, God is love, but you know, God loves you, Charlie. You know what I mean? And and we love you, I love you, Charlie. Well, I have a little passage I want to this is John the Baptist. This has, I've been aware of this for a long time. And just the other day, so Zacharias, he's praying to have a son. And he's in church doing his thing, and an angel of the Lord comes, says, Zacharias, he says, your prayers have been answered. Finally, Your prayers have been answered. This is an angel of God, a Gabriel, I guess. Your prayers have been answered. You're going to have a son. And he's going to be amazing. Zacharias, I mean, he was praying, maybe even that morning, or for years, who knows. Zacharias said, no. He's like, I'm way too old. My wife is barren. And I mean, I'm going to, this ain't happening. Angel of God. The devil, God uses the devil to do things to you for his own good. But God himself can destroy you and do something for you for his own good. God himself, he's done it so many times, God has destroyed. So the angel of God said, I said something and you didn't believe it. Okay? I said something and you didn't believe it. Boom. And he got mute for a few months. So, the moral of the story is that when God says something, you have to believe it. You have to believe it. Not only you have to believe it, but you have to live by it. It's because, I know what, I believe the Bible, all of it. But do I believe it as in, can I be put to the test to say that I believe it? Could you look at me and say, he believes the Bible because he's living the Bible. I don't think so. I'm just telling you the Bible. I'm not telling you how. Well, this is how I live by it. Okay? And James someplace, he says, what is faith without works? And I never seen that. I never really understood it. I'm beginning to understand now. What is faith without works? It's like, you say you have faith? Show me. Show me your works. Show me you have faith. I'm not going to go walk on water. I don't need to walk on water. There's nobody waiting for me to be able to live. But there's other things you can, I keep saying the turning out of the cheek thing or whatever, but other things. Do you say that you turn the other cheek? That's faith. Because the scripture says, you know, do you believe that you should turn the other cheek? Then turn the other cheek. Or whatever scripture comes to your mind, if you believe it, now you have to actually act on it. You have to act like what the Bible says. That is faith with works. Faith without works is dead. Okay, so do I have faith? I'd say I have faith. But am I actually showing that I really have faith? Do I have faith? You know, and in order to have faith, I have to have works with it. When God says anything, just I don't care what scripture it is, it says, this is what you should do. This is what's good for you. Whatever. Do I believe it? Yes. Do I live by it? No. Follow. And I need to work on that. You know, but I'm going to rephrase that. God needs to work on that.
Yeah.
Because that's what God does. That's what God does. And it's actually very easy to do all these things, all the things that God says to do that we can't do. We can't do it. We can't do it. There's nothing wrong with that. Sound like the devil, I promise. Nothing wrong with that. Just draw near to God. Very simple, like people say, with his word, just open the word. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. All of a sudden, you're going to find yourself, like it or not, doing these things. You will. You're not even going to realize you're doing the things that you were told to do. You're going to do them, and it won't take any effort. Okay? And I think, I don't know if it was in church that I was saying this, but I almost imagine it like free falling from an airplane. Just free fall to earth. Almost, just you can do nothing up there. And all of a sudden, you can't help but keep free falling. And that's what it's just been. You can't help but do what God wants you to do.
which is, and it will have nothing to do with you because you're just
helpless.
You're a helpless person. I you know. Do you have faith? Yes, you have faith. But do you have works with faith? That's different. That's way different. So let's consider it. Let's try to put our faith to work. And without faith, he keeps quoting this, without faith it's impossible to please God, and I don't please God. Because he's the boss, because he can do things for me that I can't. You know what I mean? I want to have God on my side, I want to be on God's side. And I want to please God. And Jesus says, and this always gives to me, he says, will the Son of Man find faith on earth when he returns? You know what? I don't know. But I want to find me a faithful person. You know. When God says, not for sure in the Bible says, God says, all you need is me. And I want to find myself with just God. You know what I mean? I wanna look hungry, but not be hungry. I don't wanna look hungry. But I don't care what I look like. I don't care what my evaluation is from someone. You know, he looks like he's in pain. He would have, but you know what? When you have God, you're really not in pain. You're really not suffering like Paul. He's been through so many things, and he's basically asking for more.
Lord, yes. Make this the Pablo and Charlie show here, but remember that scripture in Hebrews where it says, Paul says, you have not yet resisted unto blood. You know? That's really hard. Resisting unto blood? Ay, ay, ay. That's harder than anything I do. And yet, you know, it's grace is so easy. So, you know, on the one hand, it's just very, very easy. On the other hand, the standard that is put to us is to resist unto blood. One of the things I do is I go to a fitness coach. I spend a couple hours a week doing fitness stuff. And do high intensity interval training, go really hard, really going, you know. I spend like 3 minutes on an exercise bike, just going as hard as I can. And I tell you, I go, I hit a minute and a half, I'm halfway through. Oh, I just want to stop. It is so hard. It is so hard. And I'm only halfway through this? Oh, impossible. You know? And then keep going, and then somehow or other, I'm able to, in the last 20 or 30 seconds, really give it a kick and really bump up my performance when before that should have been easier, but it becomes, you know. Somehow or other, the body can do that. I don't know how that happens, but it can do that. On the one hand, hey, I'm going to be 73 years old next month. You know, that's a funny thing for a old 70-year-old guy to be doing that stuff. On the other hand, I'm fighting cancer. You know. But I really appreciate the opportunity to do that. You know, as old as I am, as sick as I am, I'm glad that that is something that my body is called on to do, and that I break through whatever the barrier is and start performing, but I believe there is something about our relationship with the Lord that is parallel to that, or it can be. And it's, it can seem so hard. And then we break through, and, it's all right, it's good, It's just...
That's because that last 30 seconds, Charlie, your goal is in sight.
Well, that certainly helps, there's no question.
Yeah, and you know you almost made it.
Yeah.
No matter if you're riding that bike or going to the Lord.
Yeah. Well, that certainly is true. At a minute and a half, I don't know where I was going to find that, though. Be actually doing better.
Same with their walk.
Yeah, I was going to say it might be crazy for a 73-year-old to do this. It's not what anyone else thinks. It's what the Lord thinks.
I think that's right. I was kind of making the physical and the spiritual, but you are right. Making the application to the spiritual. Yeah, no, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. That's right.
No. I'm so good. No, this is a promise. I promise you because I know through the Word that you will amaze yourself. You're not gonna, like you were saying, like, I'm a different man. I'm different. Obviously, he's different. But one day you're gonna look at yourself from the outside and say, this is not me. I normally don't do this. I normally don't react like this. I normally don't have the power to do this, or the mind to do this, or the strength to do this. And you will be doing it. How do I know? I don't know the future. I know that when you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Or when that happens, you're doing these God things. You're doing what the Bible says you should be doing, even if you never knew the Scriptures. You are going to be doing them. That's what happened to Jesus. He did all these things that nobody ever saw Him do, and anybody heard of anybody doing these things. And He did them. Not because of anything on Jesus, because he was so close to God that he just did it. Like we breathe. Jesus just did it. They just came out of him. Jesus wasn't in breath of himself, nothing. Because he was so close to God. And we get close to God. And it's so easy to get close to God. There's no mystery. There's no, how do you just take this? Eat. The Word of God is food. Remember that, you guys know. Just take it in, fill yourself with it, and you are going to be you're going to miss, I mean, you probably have, you probably have done it already so many times, and I'm telling you what, David, how many times you look at yourself, I'm like, this is not me. Normally I don't react like this. Normally I don't have this faith. It's because God is so close to you, or getting close to you, that you're doing this God thing. You're becoming a God being. You're so, so full of God. And you won't be able to help it. You won't be able to help it. You know, it's the flesh is weak, but the spirit, no, how is it? Either way, you're the
spirit. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yes. So the spirit, it doesn't apply that much for it, but the spirit is going to be so strong. That you're going to do this, you're going to amaze yourself, you're going to, that's what Jesus did, and I'm in a small level experiencing that, and I'm glad, I don't say the bad thing of it, but, it's like, God requires different things from different people. I realized that days ago. Somebody asked me, rather into detail, but Pablo, what about this? So, yeah, maybe this is the way we lean. And what about this other person? Whatever. So, well, so God requires different things from different people.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And for me, it might be hard to do certain things. For the other person, it might be easy because we're different. You know? And it's not like you want to get off the hook. You know, you don't want to look at other people to see where they're at, to compare yourself. Oh, I should be doing like that person. I should have that person's faith. No, forget it. Just let God tell you what he requires from you. It's not going to be easy, you know.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I think to put a point on something Pablo brought up, you know, we need to realize that the changes that the Word are bringing in us, that we can see in the natural, we need to revel in that and acknowledge it, that God is working in our lives. And we need to use that revelation to fight the devil, because we get beat down. We're constantly challenged by the world, constantly having decisions to make and choices to make that we don't want to make, and wish we didn't have to make, and wish things were better or different or whatever. But we can see, if we keep our minds open, that we're now reacting to those situations better than we used to, because God is having his hand on us. And those are those little, you know, mini, I don't want to say miracles, but there's many, many examples of faith that you can draw on when the next time you get a little bit discouraged, you can say, but I know that my God is doing this, and I know that I've changed in this, and I know that I'm being more equipped. And James, I know that I am actually putting a D to my words. And I think I need to remind myself that when I'm being attacked or challenged or discouraged by what's going on around me, that I wish I could just change, and I would like to think I'd change it for the better, but, you know, God's God, and I'm not. But I need to remind myself that I'm actually on the path, I'm actually going where he's leading me to go, and be happy with that, and then be encouraged by the things that I see, because he'll bring them to you. Things will come to your mind if you're open to, I used to be this way about that, and I'm not this way about that anymore. So, I mean, Charlie, recognizing that, ooh, I really should have been maybe a little bit, you know, years ago, Charlie blew right over that, you know, or me, I'm not picking on Charlie a little bit, but or me, you know, how am I going to react to this? Am I going to turn around? You know, I'm not going to get despondent and call out to God like, you know, woe is me. Because there's never really a time for me to be saying, woe is me. Thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity to walk towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was getting ready this morning. The Lord gave me just a little thing. And it was, you're right where I want you to be.
Mm-hmm.
You are there. You may not be doing what I would prefer you do, but you are where I want you to be every day. So don't despair. We will get you there. And that's just what, you know, it was me. Because I get on myself a lot. Because I don't do more. And well, I can't do more. And I, you know, the guy just said, no. You're where I want you to be.
Here
you go.
I wish I had heard that.
That's what you tell yourself right before you get on that bike.
Yeah.
You know, just choose the good part, which is to listen to him. Okay? Mm-hmm. Don't worry about doing all this.
Right.
So
yeah.
Just choose the good part. I don't, before I forget that, listen, I shared with the guys the other day. That a couple of times you come and pray for me and you lay your hands on me. And I even asked the guy, should I tell Bart? Because I don't want you to get a hot head. And,
you know, look at Glenn.
But, okay, I don't, you know, Forget about the actual prayer, the way God is answering. That's not really what I want to. But when you pray for me, at least, I feel, I don't have a word for it of what I feel. But I feel this, and I remember you touching my head, I don't know, this, I'm just going to put it like in, this is the word I'm going to use, love. I feel this love, and this care, and this compassion that I've never felt in my life before, ever. And I love my mother, you know, but it's not, it's even better than a motherly thing, or sisterly, or whatever. I crave you to pray for me. I do. I wish I had words to express to you how it feels when you pray for me. Right. I have no words. I wish I had so I can explain to you. But if anybody, I'm telling you how to translate. I wish you could all feel what I feel. And it's not like I want to put that aside, but it's not what God will, how God will answer what you're praying for is when God does whatever, but it's just, it is so precious and so peaceful. And if anybody, I have Barb pray for you for whatever. I just want to tell you before, because I would forget if nobody did that for the moment.
But, you know, you can go pray for somebody, but if God leads you to pray for somebody, it's altogether different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
I sit here thinking, didn't we used to ask in the past, ask people to come and pray for us in the past?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, are we going to just keep sitting around waiting for somebody to come pray for us?
I love to pray for people. I do. And it's not me, like you said. I know it's not me. I know it's the Lord. But it's a love. It is. But thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
It's an encouragement that maybe I am doing what God wants me to.
If he's requiring us to love one another, and that's what it says, the end of the commandment is love and charity, and that of an unfeigned heart and whatever. And so if that's what it is, and he's dwelling in you, and you're able to pour that out, how glorious. And no wonder the devil's going to want to steal your voice with your, you know, and use that to steal your joy. But I feel your love very heavily, and it's a wonderful thing. The love that you give to other people is great.
I want to go back a little on faith and what Pablo was saying, faith in the word and stuff. I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere where it says, and this is the work of faith, that you believe God. Now that doesn't seem like that should be the work, but that's what the word says. And then I thought, yeah, and you know, for a long time I was reading different stuff throughout the Old Testament, just trying to get an idea about God. And all of a sudden, I became very aware that God was controlling everything. Now, if you walk around believing God controls everything, that's what people will see. You know, I've had it. People that get, oh, the world's good. And I go, yeah. But, you know, he's in control of everything. So, you don't get all upset. You don't get anxious, you don't get, you know, negative or downtrodden or whatever, because you know God's in control. Now, it may be hard to figure out what he's thinking by what's going on, but he knows, you know. We can't see all that in God's mind. But see, that's just a simple act of the work that the Word does. That you, and that is doing a work. If you're going around showing that you believe God and that he's in control, then that's a witness, you know. That's just one little thing, but that's what was apparent to me. And that's made a big difference. I mean, I just don't care about if I see the news or not. I don't care about what I hear, if I do watch it. I just know God's in control. I'm sure some days I may get a little, you know, affected, but come out of it. It's so easy to come out of it just believing God, and He's in control.
The scripture you were after, is it, is Jesus speaking?
And I think so, yeah.
Is it, and this is the works of God, that you believe in Him, and that you believe in the Son, and He who sent Him.
Something like that, yeah. It's an important part. I was trying to look it up in Bible Up. Yeah.
Not quite the right phrase.
I don't think I know. It's, you know, it was above my mind. I see things while I'm reading the Bible and stuff, my Bible. And I go, I don't know where it is, but I know it's at the top of this column on the page.
<That's right.
laughs> I just can't find the page or the book.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I want to find a scripture, I just go to Google. Just whatever little piece of scripture you have, yeah, right there, and it will just show right up.
It is interesting, you know, we've been talking about it for a long time, how as humanity marches forward, it's becoming easier and easier to dwell on the scriptures day and night because you can have them plain, and you can now find any scripture you want within seconds, and it's being done for, you know, He's making a way. Compared to having to read by oil and lamps in tents in the desert.
Whatever's going on in the Bible is a whole lot better than whatever's going on in the world. You're going to pick one or the other? Hey, Bible's better.
I think the scripture that Jimmy was looking for is John 6:29.
I have to go back to Zechariah where we started. Okay, no, I mean, I'm talking about, because I kept thinking about Zechariah, and he was one of the priests that would get to go into this room, and, you know, that's where the angel came to him and stuff. And I was thinking in my own mind, going, well, Zechariah, why are you praying for a baby when you really don't want one? I mean, because that's kind of what it comes down to, because he was like, oh, no, wait a minute. Here's an angel, and you're going, wait, my wife's barren, I'm old. You know, he's giving all these reasons, and yet, why did he keep praying? You know, those are the things that I wonder. But if you're praying for something that you really don't want, why are you praying for it? But he must have really wanted it, but he didn't, you know, I mean, because it had been his constant prayer. I mean, it's kind of confusing. I mean, I always wanted to have a baby. Would I want a baby now? No. But if God said,
all things are possible,
all things are possible. Yeah, I mean, you have to do a lot of work, but
all things.
Of course, you would also have to do a lot of work.
But I'm just saying, you know, I mean, and I was so glad to be part of people's birthings and stuff, and seeing babies being born and all that stuff is really neat, cool, and everything. But I just wonder why, you know, it's like, Zechariah, why are you in the temple praying for this?
Yeah.
When you really, you know, you come up with, wait, I can list the reason why. So it just struck me as almost like a thing, don't do this. Yeah.
But that's his own disbelief in it, and as humans, we all have this, when we're praying for something, and there's not a whole lot of faith there, then faith can move mountains, okay? So if we're not really thinking it, and your body, you're saying, okay, all of these are the reasons why that can't happen, but God is in control and God is in power and whatever, but of course you're going to believe that at some point.
Well, it also, are we supposed to take it in a sense as a warning, going, be careful what you pray for? I mean, if you really, really want to pray for something, do it.
God just
I know. John the Baptist was the result of this. Necessary.
I don't think the scripture shows that Zacharias was praying at that very moment. He was doing something else. Maybe he's been praying.
Right.
Maybe he prayed 30 years ago, and now.
Well, that would be exactly how God would do it.
So, yeah.
You know, I pray for this.
And God goes, blink of an eye to me, buddy. What's time to me?
And then
you go, it's been a long time.
But that shows maybe he was praying. But maybe he was praying with unbelief. Kind of like me a little bit. He was praying, all of us. I don't want to say me, but I think it's a human flaw. But there's another situation like that when Peter was in jail or something, and they're praying. Everybody in this building is praying for Peter to get free. And they're praying, like, at the very moment. And then there shows Peter at the door. Why are they praying? Wait, it's not here. So a scripture that came to me this week when I was kind of dealing with this whole situation that I was sharing, I can finally understand this person in the Bible that says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yes.
Okay, wrong translation. There's definitely something wrong in there, but you know what? There's nothing wrong in there.
No.
It's so true. It's so right. It's so me. You know, I get it. I get it. And I pray in my heart. I believe. Or so I say. I believe with all my heart. But you know what? Lord, help my unbelief. And unbelief is so sneaky. Mm-hmm. It's so sneaky. So when I pray, I've been using this help my unbelief because I may even think, you know what, the devil wants me to think that I don't have it, but I do. You know, and I need to pray. I'm going to pray.
We get tested that almost every time we're willing to pray for someone for a healing.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you have faith that God will do what God wants to do, and then nothing happens, and then you go, well, okay. And then you start going, this person is really sick. It's going to be a really big miracle. And all of a sudden you're going, okay, yeah. So I don't want to be the one that's dragging down God here and letting my unbelief come forth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I believe, but Lord, I help me with my unbelief, because I'm not 100% there yet.
Well, it's like, I know God can do it, but I don't know that he's going to do it. And there's where my unbelief is. I don't know that he's going to do
it. You know, I think I just believe, I'll just put this before you. It says that, earlier in that scripture about Zacharias, that him and his wife, they prayed that they would have a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, why wouldn't he believe them? I think he prayed at the time when he would want a child.
Mm-hmm.
But then he probably, after 50 years, he quit praying, but God still heard the prayer.
Right.
And so, because it doesn't say your prayers, it just says, for your prayer is heard, whenever that was.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's why I suppose he was surprised, because they're way beyond when they should have it.
Yeah.
Also, I need to do an update. I kind of misquoted that scripture about Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God
that you believe in him whom he sent. Not that you necessarily believe in God, but that you believe in Christ, or Jesus. So, because they said, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And then he says that. So I said, believe God, but it's believe in the one whom he sent. I think you said that. So I just wanted to correct myself.
One thing, that story of Zechariah, that I kind of get a kick out of, whatever. It's like it's punishment, you know, that he was struck you here for just 9 months, wasn't it? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the 9 months, it's like that guy was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
He really expresses belief, you know? So, hey, punish me like that. If I come out, you know, roaring with faith the way that Zechariah does after.
Nothing like an experience to really build your faith on.
Yeah, right.
I think that's what this church has gone through. You know?
So,
a lot of people don't understand that. Yeah, God did a mighty move of God. Then it got twisted, turned. But then it really made something out of us. Since it. It's how we get to become attached to the word God as food, you know, it's done all kinds of things because of that.
It feels a little like when the last 30 seconds and all of a sudden you got an extra oomph because your end is sight is in goal.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I didn't look at for a long time, it just, I mean, I know I was in the desert for a long time, just, but I kept saying, I'm not giving up on you, Lord, you know, and, stuff like that, and then all of a sudden, every once in a while, he'd give this little drop, like if you were dying of thirst and you could just get a drop of water. Mm-hmm. He'd drop something in there and it'd just, like, inspire you, and give you that faith to keep believing. But, I mean, what had to happen is we needed to have humility and humbleness, and we didn't have it. You know, we thought we were pretty great, you know.
Quite the opposite.
Yeah, and I look back, totally worth it to me.
That's
what
right.
I went through, what anybody went through, totally worth it. I mean, I don't regret it one bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still doing the work. I mean, I'm still, you know, working on some areas that became really obvious because of that move, you know, and it was in selfishness, you know, and that's still being a work at it. And so, that never would have happened otherwise.
The deeper the valley, the higher the mountain.
Yeah, how can you regret it when you
victory.
See what it's for? And only you. I mean, it's amazing. It's a small group, but how it's starting to fulfill a lot of the scriptures that Paul says, be like-minded. You know? We're becoming like-minded. People say, well, there's no way everybody can believe the same thing. Well, then you don't believe the word of God.
Right.
Because it promises that you will all think alike, speak alike at one point. And I believe it now because I've seen it happen. You know, we've been, especially during all that time, you know, the fellowship thing kind of went away more or less, and we'd just come to church and we'd see each other and then we'd go home. But it was like, and nobody was really talking to each other that much during the week, but you'd come back on Sunday and people were sharing alike things, you know, things that were alike coming from the Word.
Yes.
And it was good that we weren't, because it's like, no, you were being indoctrinated to believe because so-and-so said this, you know, the pastor, whatever. No, that wasn't the case at all. Nobody was trying to convince anybody. We were just coming and sharing and finding out. We were sharing some of the same things that we found during the week.
We were in agreement.
Yeah, we were in agreement. And, oh, it's about, well, no, if you can be in agreement about one thing and then two things, you can be in agreement about them all, eventually.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Good Lord, yes.
If you have the Holy Spirit as the teacher.
The truth.
The only teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like we're learning a lot about patience, too.
Yes. And you know, I don't know, most of you sitting here, if you look back at how long it's taken, are you upset about that?
Thankful to be here.
Yeah. I mean, it's been 30, 40 years. Yeah, well, cool. I'm glad I'm where I'm at today. I don't care how long it took.
Right.
And I need to go a lot farther. But then there's time for that. Because God is great. And God can do impossible things. So.
I'm glad that I'm still alive to hear it.
Amen.
To see what God is doing.
Amen.
Yeah.
I think it taught us all growing in the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, not one person's the same that they were 30 years ago. Doesn't matter whether you were in church or weren't in church, but you keep growing on a daily basis. And the thing for me is the strength I find more so in the Lord all the time. If you were to follow me around my house, you know, it'd be like, I'm doing something, all of a sudden I'm going, okay, devil, I rebuke you. You know, and then I go on. And the next thing I'm going, you know, devil, no, I mean, because this is where my path is going. But it's all the combination of everything that I've been through that makes me where I'm at. And able then to stand up and say, devil, that's not the Lord. That's the devil. I'm not listening to that. Let's go on to something else. And I couldn't have done that years ago. I mean, so it's sort of like everything combined makes you what you are and keeps growing you every day. And it's a good thing.
Amen.
As long as we keep our focus on the Lord.
That's right.
Love you all.